Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Friday, August 8th. I'm Sigurd Bjørn, reporting for Kemud. In tonight's news, the sheriff's office names three deputies involved in fatal shooting. Fire crews make progress battling the Big Cliff fire. Extreme heat watch and heat advisory are in effect for Northern California's interior. And a local girls' soccer team lords it over opponents from Sacramento to Medford. Stay tuned, those stories and more coming up. The Humboldt County Sheriff's Office has named the three deputies involved in a fatal shooting in McKinleyville on June 26th that resulted in the death of Jared Randall Nelson. The deputies involved are Jonathan Eckert and Russell Hurley, who have 9 years of law enforcement experience, and Cole Kane with 6 years' experience. As reported by KMUD at the time, the deputies were seeking Nelson to serve him with a warrant for possession of a firearm, a violation of a probation, and an outstanding warrant. According to the sheriff's office, Nelson fled on foot when he became aware of the law enforcement officers who gave pursuit. Nelson then reportedly shot at the officers who returned fire, resulting in his death. A forensic autopsy for Nelson is still pending, and an investigation into the incident by the Humboldt County Critical Incident Response Team is active. Turning to the fires and the weekend weather, there is good news in Mendocino, where the pond fire, which is burning along Highway 101 close to Laytonville, is now 85% contained, up more than 40% from yesterday's news time. According to reports, the 25-acre fire has threatened 20 structures, but no destruction has been reported, nor any injuries to people. The Big Cliff fire in the Orleans complex in Siskiyou is still at 19% containment, same as yesterday. However, the fire, which started late Thursday last week, has only grown an estimated 11 acres overnight and stands at 906 acres, thanks in no small part to efforts by firefighters who have conducted effective tactical operations aided by what is being described as moderate fire activity. This has led to minimal loss of standing timber, including rare conifers in the Klamath National Forest. Crews have established strong containment lines on the north and west side of the fire and are working along the N43 road, performing what is being described as hazard tree abatement, meaning they are removing trees that could pose risk to people, animals, and structures. According to reports, the Butler fire, the big fire in the Orleans complex, has not changed significantly overnight, standing at just under 22,000 acres and at 94% containment. Overall, this is good news, but the current heat wave could, of course, change that. Temperatures will continue warming over the weekend into next week, with triple-digit heat in the valleys and highs around 90 degrees along the ridgetops. Poor overnight humidity is expected, and gusts are possible along ridgetops in the afternoons. An extreme heat watch has been issued by the National Weather Service for Siskiyou County. The heat watch is in effect from Sunday through Tuesday. Further south, the Weather Service has issued a heat advisory for Northern Humboldt Interior, Trinity County, and Northwestern Mendocino Interior for Saturday and again for Sunday through to 1 a.m. Monday morning. Hot and dry conditions will likely continue into early next week. You are advised to drink plenty of water, wear lightweight clothing, never leave kids or pets unattended in vehicles, spend time in air conditioning, and check on the elderly or ill neighbors. For those needing to seek refuge from the heat over the weekend and through Monday in Northern Humboldt, Neighborhood Facility Gym in Hoopa will be open from 10 to 5 p.m. Also in Hoopa, the Kim Yerton Memorial Library will be open on Saturday from 10 to 5 p.m. In Willow Creek, the library is open on Saturday from 10 to 4 p.m. And the Willow Creek Community Health Center, or Open Door, is open on Monday from 8 to 5 p.m. The Dream Quest Youth Center is open for age 18 and under on Monday from 11 to 6 p.m. In Southern Humboldt, the Garberville Library will be open from 10 to 4 p.m. on Saturday. Also, keep in mind that heat waves increase wildfire risks. With that in mind, please, never park or drive over dry grass. Secure trailer chains to avoid sparks on the road. Avoid open flame activities that could ignite nearby vegetation, such as grilling and campfires. And please don't use spark-producing equipment. California lawmakers are advancing a bill to expand composting on farms and in communities. The bill would ease regulations and give growers a new option for handling agricultural waste without burning or expensive hauling. Joe O'Leary has this report.
California growers could soon get more flexibility to compost their own agricultural waste under a bill moving through the state legislature. SB 279 would expand on farm composting and ease state permitting rules. Supporters say the bill provides a solution to a growing problem since California banned most agricultural burning in January. Democratic State Senator Jerry McNerney of Stockton says composting helps farmers and the climate.
This is giving farmers a real leg up in their work. And also, the composted material is going to have some value to them as well.
Environmental groups and ag producers both support the bill, but large composting companies have raised concerns about lost business. The bill only allows composting once every 10 years on each parcel. GOP Assembly member Stan Ellis of Bakersfield co-authored the bill.
We compost. We actually shred a lot of our prunings and let them biodegrade back into the soil because it's great. They're great soil amendments. Why anybody would even want to inhibit this is beyond me.
Industry leaders say red tape makes composting nearly impossible for small farms. Western Tree Nut Association CEO Roger Isom says growers need options.
We have nowhere to go with this material. The permitting is extensive and complex. This bill would just crack open that door a little bit.
The bill is on its way to the Assembly Appropriations Committee. I'm Joe O'Leary, California News Service.
The sight of notebooks, sharpeners, and erasers in your local supermarket aisle can only mean one thing. It's back to school time. And experts are urging parents and educators to prioritize mental health as much as physical health. Mark Richardson brings us this report.
Dr. Nicole Brady of United Healthcare highlights the stresses students of different ages face. She says adults should be on the lookout for persistent sadness, avoidance of social interactions, sudden mood changes, or concentration problems.
The biggest thing for parents that they can do is really be active listeners and be aware of your child's mental health. We get in that busy day-to-day and sometimes miss some of those signs.
Brady also says it's key for parents and educators to look out for physical signs of stress, such as stomach pain, headaches, changes in eating habits, or sleep patterns. She adds open communication and preparation can ease a child's anxiety and help them look forward to attending a new school or making new friends. Brady reinforces the need for year-round mental health vigilance. She advises parents to be consistent with their children's daily schedule and avoid unnecessary upheavals.
Establishing that routine really gives kids that sense of regularity in their schedule, that sense of predictability, which kind of brings just internal comfort.
Brady stresses the importance of acting quickly if a child shows signs of crisis or self-harm. Parents should arrange a visit to their child's regular doctor or call or text the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988 for immediate support and local resources. For California News Service, I'm Mark Richardson.
Speaking of back to school, Caltrans is altering its schedule for one-way traffic on Route 36 east of Swimmer's Delight, where repairs have been ongoing all summer. The new schedule will be as follows to accommodate school travel. The road will be closed from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. It's open before 8 a.m. and from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. and again from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. and then open after 5 p.m. until 8 a.m. the next morning. August is National Wellness Month, and we have a story here from our partners at Prairie News Service about a simple approach to well-being that may make a big difference. Mike Moen reports.
Marin Doctor is a physician assistant with Balance Medical, a women's health clinic in Bismarck. She says people might think they're getting enough sleep each night, but it often isn't quality sleep, the kind that makes them feel refreshed the next day. If possible, she says stop using your electronic devices about 60 minutes before bed. Instead, she says that time should be used for a solid routine that'll help you make you sleepy.
Whether it's you sit down with a cup of tea and a book, or you take a shower and wash your face, all those things kind of in an order that starts to tell your brain at night, oh, we're winding down.
Doctor also recommends taking a closer look at your diet to make sure you're not cheating yourself of key nutrients. She mentions iron as an example, with foods like leafy green spinach as a key source. She also says everyone should try to drink 60 fluid ounces of water each day. For women, Doctor says they often put others' needs before their own, negatively affecting their well-being. Health researchers say women have historically been misunderstood or sometimes ignored by the healthcare community. Doctor says those long-standing barriers shouldn't deter patients from speaking up.
People will start their sentences with, I'm sorry if this is too much information, but, and I always laugh and say, there is no such thing as too much information in a women's clinic or the clinic in general.
Doctor says depending on the demands facing a provider, they might have heavy patient loads on a regular basis, making it hard to extend their time with each person. But she says it's a reminder for healthcare professionals to value the time with each patient and keep an open ear about their well-being concerns. This is Mike Moen for Prairie News Service.
Thank you, Mike. And yes, you heard that right. He spoke to someone called Doctor, who is actually not a doctor, but a physician's assistant. This could lead to all kinds of confusion. We have a story here from the Northern Rockies News Service about a bizarre online rumor concerning Yellowstone National Park. Eric Tegedoff reports.
Bears, bison, and other animals aren't leaving Yellowstone National Park in large numbers, despite what you may have seen online. Posts on social media began popping up in July suggesting that animals might be moving out of the park because they knew more about some impending disaster of which humans were not aware, such as the eruption of the supposed supervolcano lurking under Yellowstone. Michael Poland is the scientist in charge of Yellowstone Volcano Observatory at the U.S. Geological Survey. He says there were undertones in the false claims from these videos that animals know more about nature than humans, but there isn't evidence to support that. He also notes that videos showed animals that were filmed elsewhere or at different times of year, such as a video of mountain lions migrating south.
It was claimed to be in July, and there was snow all over the place, and that's not how Yellowstone looks in July. So I think if people look at these videos and don't take them at face value and think a little bit about what they're seeing, that might help to sort of deduce something that's a joke from something that might be real.
The claims on social media appear to have come from a satirical account, although others believed animals really were leaving the park in droves. Poland wrote an article for the Yellowstone Caldera Chronicles to dispel these rumors. The chronicles consist of weekly columns written by scientists and collaborators at the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory. Poland says internet hoaxes like this one happen from time to time and are usually pretty harmless. However, the rumors did have an impact on the staff at Yellowstone National Park.
It hit the national park kind of hard in that they got all kinds of inquiries. So they spent a bunch of their time trying to respond to those inquiries rather than doing other things that might be more constructive.
While fears have persisted that the caldera under Yellowstone will erupt, Poland says that isn't likely.
Reality is that the Yellowstone magma body is mostly solid. We're just not worried about a volcanic eruption there. On human timescales, the bigger hazards are a strong tectonic earthquake, something like the magnitude 7.3 that happened in 1959, a steam explosion like the one that happened just last year.
For Northern Rockies News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
We're sticking with fiction, although this time it's based on true events. Our partners at the National Native News have a story about the recent premiere of a new TV series about the unification of the Hawaiian Islands from an indigenous perspective. And Cassie Ordonio was on the red carpet to speak to cast members about playing Hawaiian historical figures.
Maori actress Te Awa Henepenia almost turned down the job amid concerns raised on social media about non-Native Hawaiians cast to play prominent figures in Chief of War.
I actually shared those concerns, and at the end of the day, it does not matter what I think. The only people who deserve to decide who tells this story are Kanaka.
She spoke with the show's co-creators Jason Momoa and Thomas Pa'asibet to decide if the role was right for her. Now she's playing the role of Kupuohi. Her character is married to Ka'iana, played by Momoa.
It's a true honor for them to give that to me, and I hope they see how much we tried to embody the kupuna and be guided by the akua to honor this story. It truly is a gift.
Chief of War is a highly anticipated historical drama about King Kamehameha's unification of the Hawaiian Islands in the 19th century. While some scenes were shot in Hawaii, most were filmed in New Zealand or Aotearoa. Several cast members are Maori, including prominent actors Cliff Curtis and Temuera Morrison. Other members are Samoan, Tongan, and Native Hawaiian. Morrison plays Maui King Kahekili. He says he relied on cultural advisors and language experts for his role. There was also immense pressure after he interacted with a Native Hawaiian boom mic operator.
I thought I'd better do a good job for her, otherwise she'd whack me on the head with her microphone boom.
Jason Momoa says Maori actors have paved the way and inspired Pacific Islander actors. Aotearoa has a globally recognized film industry.
All these Maori actors came here and they taught our kids and the next generations. Because I can't teach him. I went through just watching stuff.
The first two episodes of Chief of War will be released August 1st on Apple TV Plus.
For National Native News, I'm Cassie Ordonio.
And finally, here is Ray Hamill, a starter in K-Mud's lineup every Friday with his sports report, which this time features an update on the Crabs and a story about a local girls' soccer team that has been lording it over its opponents from Sacramento to Medford, Oregon.
The Humboldt Crabs closed out the 2025 summer season in exciting fashion last weekend, making it all the way to the second annual Pacific Empire League Championship Series. Hello and welcome to this week's K-Mud News Sports Report. I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com. We'll have more on the Crabs and how they fared in just a moment as we take a look at all of the big local sports stories of the week, including news of a young girls' soccer team that is getting some recognition well beyond the North Coast, a new format in store for high school football this fall and what we can expect on opening weekend, how one College of the Redwoods program is thriving after a difficult spring, a new coaching hire at Cal Poly Humboldt, and news of a big community race that will take place later this month. But first up, another exciting summer of Crabs baseball concluded last weekend. The local summer collegiate club qualified for last week's Pacific Empire League Championship Series, but ultimately fell to the Healdsburg Prune Packers, who secured the league title for the second straight year. Game one of the best of three series was played at the Arcata Ballpark, and the host Crabs won 10-8. The series then switched to Healdsburg, with the Packers taking game two 10-2 to set up a true championship showdown last Friday night. The Packers took that game as well, winning 9-4. The Crabs then returned to Arcata for the final two games of the season, splitting with Cal State Peloteros. The Crabs took game one 5-0 before losing game two 8-6. Despite the late disappointment, it was another fun summer at the Arcata Ballpark. The Crabs closed out with a record of 39-11, with seven of their losses coming against the high-flying Prune Packers. After the season finale, Crabs manager Robin Guyver handed out the team's annual awards, including Team MVP and Pitcher of the Year. Three of the five award winners were local players, showcasing just how much of an impact North Coast players had on this year's team. Cameron Sewell was named the Team MVP, edging out Keenan Morris, Adam Enyart, and Tyler Howard for the honour. Morris was named the Defensive Player of the Year, while Miles Standish took home the Best Pitcher Award, and Nolan Hamilton was given the Coaches Award. Morris and Standish are both Eureka High graduates, while Hamilton was born in Humboldt County but grew up in Arizona before returning to the North Coast to play for the Crabs this summer. Rounding out the annual awards, Enyart was named the Crabs Offensive Player of the Year after playing a hugely influential role for the team all summer. Elsewhere in local sports, it's been a memorable year so far for a group of young local soccer players. The Eel River Rapids 11U team, which is made up of girls from Fortuna, Ferndale and Eureka, recently won a third straight tournament. In just their second year competing together, last month the young Eel River players took home the championship from the Silver Cup in the Sacramento area, after previously also winning the Rogue Memorial Challenge tournament and the Smash Cup tournament. Remarkably, the Eel River Rapids have lost just once in their last 20 games, going 15-4-1 in that time. And they're far from done just yet, with four more tournaments to play between now and the end of October. Switching gears, the local high school football season will feature a change in format this fall. The season kicks off in 3 weeks, with 7 of the 9 HDNL varsity teams scheduled to be in action on opening weekend. The first night of the new season sees a pair of all-local matchups, with Hoopa travelling to Crescent City to play Del Norte and Arcata hosting Eureka. This year's Big Four, however, will see some big changes. Instead of playing each other once each in conference play, the four Big Four schools will face off twice each this fall in a home and away format. That means conference play will kick off in early October and will run for 6 weeks, all of which should make for an exciting race for the 2025 championship. The Little Four schools will also play a home and away format, as they have for several years. In local college softball, meanwhile, it's been a good off-season for College of the Redwoods. After the disappointment of having to cancel their season this past spring because of injuries and medical clearance issues, the CR women look set to return with a bang in 2026. Head coach Michaela Harris, who took over the program last summer from Megan Valente, has been busy recruiting this year, adding 15 players to the roster. And that, coupled with 8 returning players, will give Redwoods its biggest roster in several years. 3 hoopball players, Bethany Maston, Diamond Bibankos-Knight, and Julie Bibankos-Knight, and Eureka's Megan Hampton, are all back with the team after freshman seasons in 2024, along with South Fork's Chloe McConnell, who committed to play for the local community college after graduating high school last year. According to Harris, the returning players have been busy honing their skills, and they took full advantage of the extra time this spring, using it to develop their games and work one-on-one with the coaches. In other local college softball news, Cal Poly Humboldt announced this week that longtime coach Kelly Wooden has been added as an assistant coach. Wooden, who joins head coach Megan Correa's staff, brings more than 25 years of softball coaching experience after playing for the University of Oregon in the mid-1990s. And rounding out a busy week in local sports, Health Sport announced this week that it will honour a fallen hero while promoting fitness and fundraising for a worthy cause with a special event later this month. The annual Kevin Ebert Memorial Trail Run, which features 10K and 2-mile events, will be held on Saturday, August 23rd at the Redwood Community Forest in Arcata, and registration is now open. Ebert was a Humboldt County native and Navy SEAL who was killed in action in November 2012, and he was known locally for his adventurous spirit and as a part of the health sport community. All proceeds from the event will benefit the North Coast Rape Crisis Team. And that's this week's KMUD News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thanks to our engineer, Michael McCaskill, and thanks to our reporters, Joe O'Leary, Mark Richardson, Mike Moen, Eric Tegedoff, and Ray Hamill. Reporting for KMUD, I'm Sigurd Bjørn. Thank you for listening.
KMUD News is online. You can find us on kmud.org and now streaming on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, where you can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening during your rural commute. You can also follow us on social media. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org.
Redwood Community Radio is funded by Press Forward, a national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news.